Moncrief on News Talk.
You know the way you can look at multiple apps and get multiple forecasts for what the weather will be like on any given day. So are the old ways of it any more reliable? What can midges or frogs or fog tell us? Kelly Fitzgerald is the head of the School of Irish Celtic Studies and Folklore at UCD. Kelly, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Dismiss the whole thing as pishogues and superstition, but there's a certain amount of it that kind of corresponds to actual science as well.
Absolutely. And I suppose it refers back, when we think of traditional culture, we have to realise people were much more connected to the natural world. And folklore really is reading the signs of the world. And perhaps we always think of them as being this very supernatural or kind of, you know, wild ways of looking at things, the kind of sensational way of looking at it. But when you're living that life, everything that is natural or supernatural or preternatural, it's all in your world. Mm. So again, you're responding to things that you are seeing and you are making connections and you are reading the landscape. And sometimes it is telling you something and sometimes it's the imagination that's creating what you have there. Mm.
But things like cattle lying down seems to be a fairly... Well, I don't know if it's 100% reliable, but it's an indicator of what the weather might be like in the future.
It can be. And I suppose that's the earliest one I can remember is if you saw the cattle lying down, it was going to rain. And I always thought they just kind of knew I'm not going to get too bothered. I'm just going to sit it out here.
Yes. But that's not just an Irish thing. That in many countries, people have that belief.
And again, I think it's really interesting. We are when Ireland was much more an agriculturally based society or community, and you see that connection between the animal world and this world, whether it's your cat showing you what the weather's going to be like as it's sitting at the hearth or what the birds are doing in the sky. You are very much more, you are aware of what's happening around you and you're taking note of what could be happening.
Yeah. What can a cat tell you?
Oh, cats, as we know, cats are fascinating animals. And there has always been this sense that they know more than we humans will ever know. And you could, I mean, again, they're up to things that we have. They always have these parallel lives. And we see if, you know, if their back is turned to the hearth, it's going to be bad weather. If they're kind of facing the hearth, it's going to be good weather. These types of signs that people would have taken.
Yeah. And hills seeming far away. That things have seen from Father Ted. That's, you know, about the cows.
When hills seem far away, and I don't know if that's kind of like an atmospheric thing, like if the clouds have come in and they just create this sense of distance. But when they seem nearer, it's going to be clearer weather. Again,
well, it could well be a water vapour or that kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
That could have an effect on that.
Again, you brought the folklorist in, not the scientist. Let's just remind you.
When the frog has his yellow coat on. I didn't know frogs wore coats, but
Nor did I.
Is it a little raincoat that the frog wears, just in case?
Or is it the colouring of his skin? Does it change a kind of yellowish colour from the green? I don't know. That one, I would be interested if anyone had any thoughts on that. But I do love it, again, that the animal world is communicating to us because they have that bit more knowledge than we do.
Yeah. Now, Dukas has this folklore collection database.
Yes.
It sounds like it's absolutely vast.
Oh, it's amazing. And so the National Folklore Collection in UCD is the digitized collection can be found on dukas.ie. And there, I mean, weather lore is a huge area. There are thousands of examples of weather lore there. And I think it's really interesting that that's something people really hold true to themselves or they carry and they pass it on, this kind of indigenous knowledge that helps people kind of understand the landscape. And as we know, understanding weather is really important.
Because it's all we ever talk about. But a lot of the stuff that's on the database, when would it have been collected?
So when we think of it, primarily if you look at what's the Irish Folklore Commission began in 1935, the school's collection, the National School's collection is from 1937 to 1938.
Okay.
So, but then it carried on and there is continuously material being uploaded onto the site. So from the 1930s up until the 1970s, we're really looking at the material and a very really amazing time in Irish history of kind of Ireland is going through huge changes, and this collection of this material of holding on of perhaps previous traditions and associations.
I guess I imagine the stuff that was collected in the 1930s, that was passed down from generations for centuries, probably.
Perhaps, yeah. And again, it is that sense of people saying, you know, school children going to their grandparents. So absolutely, their grandparents are probably from the, you know, late 19th century, mid to late 19th century, and their knowledge of the landscape and what was local. And we also have to remember at a time, this is where secondary school is not as, you know, as common as it is now. So primary school is where kids went, and they were all over the country. So this material is very local. Mm. And you get a real sense of what really local traditions are at this time.
Ah, right. And so they can vary then, can they?
Absolutely.
In that if in Cork the midges are flying up, that means it's going to be rain. If they're flying down in Laois, it's going to be rain.
Exactly. And I think this is the difficulty or the challenge I think so many people have with this material, because they want to know what it is. And there isn't, you know, someone didn't sit at the top and say, this is our, these are our traditions and this is how it's going to be. I love it when you see things that are perhaps more common. Is that perhaps because it is a bit more scientific and it's saying something? Or when you see that imagination and the kind of interpretations or the variations of what seems quite formulaic, but yet local traditions, you know, like again, you know, Shepherd's Delight, you know, the weather rhymes that people think of. And again, a rainbow in the morning is a shepherd's warning is not something I would have known. But you can find things like that in the tradition.
OK. And there would be elements, I assume, that are pretty uniform across the country. Would there be?
Would they? I think if we think of that is, you know, you need your dock leaves when you get stung by nettles. I'd say that's probably one of the most common.
I don't know. Does that even work? Actually, I don't think it does.
Is it just that they always grow next to each other? No.
Yeah, that's why. Here's the problem. Here's the solution. Because you'd think the dock leaf would just like cancel out the nettle, really, for that to work. But there would be local ideas about how the, you know, what's going to forecast the weather. That would be just specific to a townland or a county, or
a family. Again,
oh, really? Just a family.
You can have traditions. I think when we really look at things, people would have what their grandparents said, what their parents said. It could be a variation of what was a more local tradition. Again, this is what is so wonderful about tradition.
Yeah.
It can really become very close, or it can have a kind of more national narrative or international spread as well.
Yeah. Apparently a fox barking at night is a sign of dry weather. I must say, I've never heard a fox barking.
I've heard a fox many a time at night, but I don't think they're barking.
I didn't know they barked, actually. I thought they just kind of skulked around the place. It would be against their nature to bark. Mad things. Kelly, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us today. That was Kelly Fitzgerald there, head of the School of Irish Celtic Studies and Folklore in UCD.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.